You know, I was thinking about Veterans Day, and 101 years ago, last year we celebrated the 100th anniversary of Veterans Day. And 101 years ago, in 1918, on the 11th month, the 11th day, they ended World War I. And the history behind that, after the war, Congress declared that November the 11th would be an annual holiday. And we know, many of us know that was originally called Armistice Day. But we call it Veterans Day because in 1953, after the Second World War ended, the name was changed to Veterans Day, and it still is today. It's really to celebrate those who are alive, those who served, and those who have gone on. And I really think it's important for us to remember, not only their lives, the sacrifices they made to everyone, for everyone. They gave a lot up. Our veterans have given a lot up. They don't make the most money. I remember my first paycheck. My first paycheck was like $89. $89. Now, some of you probably can remember a paycheck a lot less than that. And I remember my first one. And I thought, man, that's a big paycheck. But something about veterans. One of the reasons that we should honor our veterans. What is that reason? One of the reasons is a veteran is committed to the cause of freedom. A veteran is committed to the cause of courage. And a veteran is committed to the love of country. Another reason that our veterans are so deserving of our honor is because of the cost that they were willing to pay. The veteran gave up the safety and security of their own homes. They left behind their families and their careers, their personal agendas. They gave up everything, set it aside to go give their time so that we could enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy today. And if that doesn't mean something to you, man, I tell you what, I appreciate it so much. And I know it was an honor for me whenever I decided to serve. I had my thoughts about what it would be like because of the stories that were told to me. And I know that it's not really the easiest life. It's not easy to serve. But when I look back now and I think about the hardships that I had when I served, there were some good times. But I think back, would I do it again? Yes, I absolutely would. I'd do it again. And again, and again, and again. And I think many of us here this morning that served would say the same thing. Even though it was tough, there was times where it was wet and cold and nasty, and we got yelled at a lot, and you got run till you couldn't run anymore, and then you ran some more. But that was just my life in peacetime. I think about the ones that went overseas and fought. And they lost limbs. And they lost eyesight. And they lost buddies. And friends. And that breaks my heart. And they did it all for us. They did it for us. They did it for their country. Because they wanted the freedom, just, just like I read earlier before we started. Patrick Henry said, I don't know about you guys. It's his attitude. I don't know about for you guys, but for me, give me liberty or give me death. That's what it means to me. I would rather live in a country that's free. I would rather give my sacrifice to a country so that my family can be free to praise and worship. I wouldn't be able to stand here today and preach this scripture without censorship if it wasn't for the sacrifice that has been made. Think about that. We get the right to choose what car we want. Well, sometimes. Depends on how much money you make, right? Sometimes we drive an old beater and sometimes we drive a nice new car. And that's okay too, but that's our freedom, right?
Amen.
Amen. We can decide what color we want our house. Well, not always. Depends on what homeowner association you live in or what subdivision you live in. Not around here though, right? What am I trying to say this morning? I love Teddy. He keeps me straightened out. I know one of these days when I get to heaven, I might be able to see him. As I tiptoe up, I'll see Teddy up there at the feet of Jesus. I believe that with all my heart. My scripture this morning, if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 8, starting in verse 5. When Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home, paralyzed, suffering terribly. And Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof. But just say the word and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell you this one, go. And he goes. And that one, come. And he comes. And I say to my servant, do this. And he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those following him, truly I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. I say to you that many will come from the east and the west and will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the subjects of the kingdom will be thrown outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. Come on, pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word, Lord. Just let me say this. These words briefly this morning, Lord, but let them be your words. Lord, clear my thoughts and open up my heart. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. Bless these ones here this morning, Lord. Let their hearts be opened and their minds be clear that they may receive your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, this centurion, he gave honor to Jesus, didn't he, when he came to Jesus. And, you know, a centurion was a military leader. He was in the Roman army. And, you know, when you look at the Greek word for centurion, the definition of that means a commander of 100. It's So he was a commander. You know, he was like the, you know, the CO. He was a company commander. And a centurion was a military leader in the Roman army. And while the centurion may have commanded 100, it wasn't uncommon for a Roman centurion to have more than 100 under their command. The centurion told Jesus about the kind of authority he had in the Roman army. You know, every time a centurion is mentioned in the Scripture, it's always a good, it's always in the good. It always brings light to the Scripture. It's always in favor. When Jesus died on the cross, a centurion man was there when Jesus died, and he said, "Truly, this is the Son of God," in Matthew 27:54. In Acts 10:1, the first Gentile convert mentioned by name in the Scriptures was a centurion named Cornelius. In Acts 21, we read where some soldiers, including centurions, were the ones who rescued Paul from being killed by an angry mob in Jerusalem. That's in Acts 21:32. In Acts 23:17, we read that it was some centurions who had a band of more than 200 soldiers who provided Paul with the military escort to Caesarea when he was brought before Felix, the governor. And in Acts 27, when Paul and a group of prisoners were being taken to Rome, their ship was wrecked. And the soldiers wanted to kill them. But a centurion, a commander aboard the ship, convinced them not to do it because he wanted to spare Paul's life. You know, our Scripture, we meet another centurion who is painted a very favorable light to Jesus. He honors Jesus. And we learned that this centurion had come to Jesus because he had a servant who had some sort of paralytic problem. And he was suffering. You know, Jesus saw the love and compassion of this guy. You know, here's one of his servants. And he didn't send soldiers out. He didn't send friends out to find Jesus. He himself went to Jesus. I thought that was something. That told me a little bit about who this man was. This soldier, this commander. I remember when I was in the service, I had some lieutenants that I didn't much care for. They didn't much care for me, and I didn't much care for them. We didn't always get along with each other, but when it came down to it, we always fought together. We always trained together, and we always did things the way it was supposed to be done. But I had a company commander, and he was tough. He was tough. He was not a very big guy. But I'll tell you what, you respected him. Why? Because when you were running, he ran circles around you. Whatever you did, he did it with you. And he cared about you. And you knew that. And you respected him for it. I kind of thought about this guy here and his servant laying there. He cared about his servant enough to go and find Jesus. I thought that was important. When Jesus heard, he marveled and said to those who followed, let me go back. You know, Jesus noticed the great honor that this guy was given. And he said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." By faith, the centurion had come to Jesus. He could have commanded that his soldier bring Jesus to him, but he didn't. Like I said, by faith, the centurion humbly honored Christ as a superior authority. By faith, this military veteran recognized his unworthiness to have the sinless Christ come into his home. But Christ gave honor to him. And when Jesus heard of it, he marveled and he said to those who followed, "Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." I think about that. Jesus is saying, this guy, he's got faith. This veteran, he's got faith. There's only two places in the Scripture that I found in the New Testament where we were told that Jesus marveled at something. And in Mark 6:6, Jesus marveled at the unbelief of the Jewish people in his hometown of Nazareth, and here in Matthew, where he marveled at the centurion. In fact, Jesus hadn't seen faith like this in all of Israel. He had performed miracles in their towns and villages, and he had taught in their synagogues, and yet the Jewish people still rejected Jesus. It was this Gentile military veteran, this Roman centurion, who demonstrated the uncommon faith in Jesus, so much that Jesus marveled at his faith. True faith honors Christ, and Christ honors true faith. I believe that's why there's no atheist in a foxhole. Heard that before? The centurion said to Christ, "Just speak a word, and my servant will be healed." That's faith. How many, do you really believe that? You know, we come and we pray, and we have people come forward, and we anoint people, and we pray for them. But do we really have that faith that says, I know when I come to Jesus that His will be done, and I know my servant will be healed? We believe that.
Amen.
There's been times my faith has not been there. Gone through the motions. But this man had character. He had compassion. And he had faith. Just speak a word. He didn't say, come pray this big lengthy prayer over him. He didn't say, come and lay hands. He just said, just speak a word, and he'll be healed. Just speak a word. I think about how important our words are. How important our words are. We say the name of Jesus. Whether it be given in honor or in dishonor, how important are our words? This man gave nothing but honor and compassion, not only for Jesus, to Jesus, but also for his servant that lay sick. How many times do we fail to simply take Christ at His word? Jesus says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find it. Knock and the door shall be opened. And yet we still don't ask, seek, or knock at times. Not as we should. Not with that faith. Not with that respect. Not with that honor. Sometimes we just take Christ for granted. Oh, God, just give me this. God, just give me this. Woe is me. Give me that. But when we truly come to Him with complete respect and reverence, when we come to Him and show Him the honor that He deserves with compassion, I think that's when He hears it. That's when He honors. We can look at the incredible faith of this military veteran. He told Jesus, just speak a word and my servant will be healed. But not only did Jesus honor him for his faith, Jesus healed his suffering servant. Jesus is telling the centurion, because of your belief, I have authority from my Heavenly Father. And because you have trusted that, all I have to do is speak a word. And because of what you asked, it's done. Amen. It's done. He says, so now let it be done for you. Man, those are words that who here this morning would not want to hear Jesus say that? Amen?
Amen.
There's a lot of things we don't understand. There's a lot of times we think that maybe our faith is not right because somebody doesn't get healed. But you know, ultimately it's Jesus' will. It's God's will for our lives, and we don't know when that will be. We wonder why maybe people die in battle or people die of sickness and these things like that happen, but we know that it does happen. Those things are just God's will. You know, truth, true faith seeks the invisible. And true faith believes in the impossible. And true faith perceives the incredible. Amen. I want to leave you with this morning. It is the veteran, not the preacher, who gave us the freedom of our religion. It is the veteran, not the reporter, who gave us the freedom of the press. It is a veteran, not the poet, who gave us the freedom of speech. It is the veteran, not the lawyer, who gave us the right to fair trial. It is the veteran, not the politician, who gave us the right to vote. And it is the veteran who salutes the flag and served under the flag, who gave us the freedom to proudly wave our flag. And I want to say this morning, I gladly stand and honor our veterans today. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, Lord. I just ask you to bless these men that served you, not only serve you, but have served this country, to make it what it is today, Lord. And Lord, I know we're struggling today. And Lord, I just ask you to bless this country. Lord, let us do what's necessary. Necessary, but Lord, we just ask that you be in control and front and center of everything in our lives. Lord, let us bow down to no one but you. Lord, we praise you. Thank you for our freedom today as we honor our veterans. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.